make the most.
One song we sing is that we didn't have to make it in.
Yeah, right.
I said we didn't have to make it in. Amen. We just watch the news and we see all of the events that are taking place and everything is unfolding. Truly, we can say that God is good.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah. We're going to ask you to turn to James chapter 1. Amen. I've been preparing something differently, but the Lord still brings me back to us keeping a spiritual balance. Mm-hmm. Amen. Not losing our spiritual equilibrium. Amen. And so I guess this will be part 3. Amen. Somebody say, how long are we going to stay there until the Lord moves us? Amen. Because it's so important that we understand what God expects from us. And he expects more than we give him. So James chapter 1, and I believe, I have quite a few scriptures, so I'm not going to believe in a moment and say it a lot, but we're going to start with verse 16. James chapter 1, verse 16. Amen. And we'll read that together down to verse 23, and then we'll delve a little further into it as we go. If we have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
And for those that do not have it, it is on the screen. Amen. Verse 16 reads, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every perfect gift is from God. And come down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of godliness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word. Can the congregation say the word of the Lord?
Word of the Lord.
It's blessed.
It's blessed.
Already.
Already.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. So good to see Brother Fritz. How can we get into that? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Tonight, we're going to continue what we've been going over the last few weeks. You know, it's so important as a child of God that we understand what God expects of us. As a child of God, it's so important that we understand what the Lord does expect of us. Now, with the subject that we've been dealing with is keeping your spiritual equilibrium, or is a balance, amen, with God. Keeping your spiritual equilibrium. Can you keep your spiritual equilibrium and be in disobedience to God's word? Can we keep? And we're dealing with what? Keeping our
balance.
Amen. Keeping a spiritual balance. In other words, giving God the things that God does require from us. Can we keep a spiritual balance to be in disobedience?
No.
Any answers? Amen. You can't. You can't walk contrary to God and then say, I'm in God. Mm-hmm. It does not work. Mm-hmm. Amen. So in order for us to keep our equilibrium, we must be obedient to the word of God. Well, James is writing here, and he says, well, before we get in here, one of the scriptures that Jesus used in dealing with the religious people, you can be religious, I have a religion, and not be saved. You can be religious, you can have a religion, and not really be totally in God. So Jesus, in dealing with the religious people of his day, amen, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the reigning spiritual powers, he said, you have ears, but you hear not. Amen. When it comes to dealing with when you got a religion, in other words, I believe God, I know God, but we do not fully follow God. Amen. He said, you have ears to hear, but you hear not. You have eyes to see, but you see not. And he said, these people draw near to me with their, they say the right things. He said, but their hearts are far from me. Well, when you're out of balance spiritually with God, you will say all the right things. But it's the heart that God searches and watches. Amen. So we can say all of the right things, but Jesus said, the problem is you're drawing close to me with your outward appearance. But God said, as I pierce and look at your heart indeed are far from me. And that brings us to James. He says, chapter 1 said, do not what? Err my beloved brethren. I mean, he's speaking to those that love the Lord. Amen. He said, do not err my beloved brethren. And the next verse says, what? Every good gift and every perfect gift. Amen. Sometimes the computer gets stuck. Oh, the person on the computer is delayed. But every good gift and every perfect gift is from where?
Oh,
everything that we receive is from God. Amen. If it's good and if it's perfect, it's from God. So if there's some good and perfect thing we receive from God, then there have to be some not so good things. Amen. And some things that are not so perfect, that are not from God. One of the scriptures in Proverbs, you know, once again, we're trying to keep a spiritual balance. Amen. Spiritual balance means we do the things that please God. One of the scriptures in Proverbs says the blessings, the good gifts, and the perfect gifts that God gives us. He said the blessing maketh rich. In other words, it embellishes you. It enlarges you. It prospers you. It maketh rich, and the Bible said, God added no sorrows with it. Amen. So when we think of where are we, you know, and it's so important tonight. I don't need to please somebody else tonight and keep my spiritual equilibrium. Where am I at right now in God? When God looks at me, amen, what does God see? And you know, we went over this in Isaiah chapter 29, one of the faults that God found with his people. He said, you're continually doing things as though I do not see it. Amen. God says, I see all. God asked them a question. He said, is there a place that you can go that I do not see?
Jesus.
Amen. And he said, even the night and the dark are the same to me because I'm God. So because all of the lights are off and nobody's around, God says, I still see you. Amen. We're trying to get in the place of God, but God is pleased with us. That's how we keep our spiritual equilibrium. We said, well, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of life, of whom is no God is not a changing God. You know, sometimes we have the tendencies as people to be fickle. You know what fickle means? Not a pickle, but a fickle. I'm so serious here. Like, I'm about to scare me up here. I'm going to run out the back door. So I got to throw some curveballs at y'all to make y'all loosen up. Amen. It's been a hard week, huh? God is not fickle. Amen. God says what he means, and God means what he says. Amen. I said God says what he means, and God means what he says. So in God examining and watching us, he watches everything. Amen. God, you know, sometimes we can go so far. Everybody ever has some bad days? Now, I've seen some of y'all bad days. I'm going to recite some of those things. How are you? Okay, I got you. I understand. So we have some So our scripture said, our God by the slumbers nor sleeps. At all times, he's watching us. Amen. So it's so important tonight to realize that God watching us. The Bible said we got to give an account for every idle word and thoughts. If we have to give an account for every idle word and thoughts, what about those intentional things that we say and do? Amen. It's important. So there's no variable tonight. Is there any shadow of turning? Amen. When we talk about in God. The next verse reads, of his own will begot us with the word of
truth.
You know why we're here tonight? We're saved because of the what?
Word truth.
The Bible says the truth will make us
free.
Amen. When Pilate was examining Jesus, and he was asking, well, who are you? And they said this about you, and they said that about you. Jesus said, I came to proclaim the truth. Mm-hmm. Amen. The Pilate said, well, what is truth? Pilate asked Jesus, he said, what is truth? Jesus said, my word is
truth.
Amen. So he said, of his own will begot us with the word of
truth.
Amen. God is not a God that gets caught up in ambiguity, lies, and falsities. God saved us through the truth. So if God saved us through the truth, he will not change. He will not alter. What does he expect from us?
Amen.
Amen. The same thing. So it's all will be God us, and we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, he said, let every man be
swift to hear.
Swift to hear. Well, what are we listening to? The word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Let every man be swift to hear and you know, sometimes, not too many people in here. You know, there are other people, they got their fast lips. The old saying says, loose lips do what?
Sink ships.
Loose lips sink ships. Amen. But there's sometimes, in the emotion of things, we just let stuff start flying. Amen. We just let it shh. It said, be slow to speak. It didn't say don't speak, but be what?
Slow.
Well, why are you going to be slow to speak? Because before I speak, I'm meditating on what I've heard. So before I speak, in my inner man, I'm meditating on what I have swiftly heard. So I'm going to be slow to speak. And then I'm going to be slow to speak, and then I'm going to be slow to wrath. Amen. And then it did not say you don't get angry. Or else the Bible said be angry, but said not. But it said be what? Slow to wrath. Amen. There has to be an equal balance in our lives. Amen. So there are times when things don't just go right. But I'm so glad that when we mess up, the Bible said we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So when we mess up, Lord, I'm not going to stay in this condition. I'm not going to stay messed up. If I know I messed up, I'm not going to stay messed up. I'm going to go to my advocate who's with the Father, who's who? Jesus. Because Jesus died, he's our high priest. He constantly stands as our intercessor. Amen. And the intercessor, what it does is that, now, God, you know, in your word, what it is that the wages of sin is death. They deserve judgment. But the Lord cannot see us because he has to look through his son, Jesus. So he looks through Jesus, amen, and he said, though they deserve judgment, I cannot do that because he's interceding. He's between us and the wrong, and God forgives us. So it's so important, be wrong, but don't stay wrong. Amen, you can be wrong, but don't stay wrong. So in keeping our balance, we want to do all things. One of the things the Lord said to the Pharisees, he said, now, you keep the outward expressions of salvation. He said, yes, you pay tithes of animals, you pay tithes of men and cumin. He said, but you have omitted the weightier matters of the law. There's no balance. You're doing one thing, but you're not doing the other. He said, you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, which is judgment, mercy, and faith. what you do to be seen of men. Hallelujah. But judgment, mercy, and faith is what you do towards men. Amen. Tithes and our outward display is what we do to be seen of men. Judgment and mercy and faith is what we do to men. He said, now these ought you to have done. But the balance is, do not leave the other things undone. In other words, the Lord said you have to do it all, amen, to keep a spiritual balance. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And this word, actually, I had my notes and I kind of messed up near the end, and I said, well, either I can try to start all over, or I just use it. I said, well, Lord, maybe you don't want me to use that, so I'm going to let you lead me. Amen. Righteousness deal with God as a judge. Amen. Just like when we go to court, the judge has to hear the case. Right? So it said, God, in dealing with us in righteousness, he's dealing with us as a judge. So in dealing with us as a judge, the Lord peers over the evidence. He peers over our lives. He peers over what we're seeing and what we're doing. Amen. And the verdict that he renders will be based on the evidence that he has gathered. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
How many know that when you go to court, they go by the evidence? Unless you go to one of those quicker courts, one of those jackknife courts, and his whole everything is already predetermined. But God is not predetermined. God judges us based on the evidence. So it said, it worketh not the righteousness of God. And this righteousness means that the things that are pleasing and the things that are acceptable in the eyes of God. Righteousness is the things that are pleasing and the things that are acceptable in the sight of God. Now tonight, if we were to take a moment here, what in God gathering our evidence? And what I like about God, he doesn't gather your evidence for me and my evidence for you. Amen. Because the Bible said we must all give an account of the things done in our own bodies. In God gathering our evidence tonight, what verdict would he render? Amen. We know. What verdict would God render as the righteous judge? Abraham says, shall not the judge of the earth do right? Because he is what? Righteous. So as God is gathering the evidence, and he's about to issue a verdict, what verdict would God render? Amen. As he's peering over all of the evidence, amen, all of the testimonies, amen, those that are in your favor and those that are against you, God has said, I'm looking at your life. And in looking at our life, amen, will God be able to say that the things that you're doing are pleasing? Righteousness is divine favor with God. Are the things in our life causing a divine favor, or is it causing a divine disfavor? When our lives get out of balance, we start doing things based on our own inner man and not on the word of God. Amen. Next verse. It says, wherefore live hard. Now the feeling is important, but the A-L-L says live hard what? All filthiness. Amen. Anything that would tarnish. Filthiness is what? Filth. Sin is filth. Transgression is filth. Iniquity is filth. He said, you got to lay all of that aside. Amen. That will not cause the righteous judge to give you a favorable verdict. So he said, you have to lay it all aside. You know, sometimes we say, well, I got rid of a lot, but no, God said, lay it all. 40 is actually a Greek word, you know, come on, this is not scientific, but it's a Greek word which means your ears are full of wax. That's what that superfluity means. Your ears are full of wax. Amen. It's an abundance amount of that wax which prevents you from hearing. Superfluity of knowledge. Amen. And also the filthiness prevents us from hearing. So we come to church, we're excited, but there's a whole lot of stuff that's causing us not to be able to hear and receive the word of God. Amen? He said, and receive with meekness God's engrafted word, which is able to
save your soul.
You cannot be engrafted now. Engrafted means that's a word that God has deposited in us. The engrafted word is a word that God has deposited in us. So there's a lot of times we come to church and we start picking and choosing the parts of the word that we like and don't like. I'll do that, but I'm not going to do that. You got to let God put the engrafted word. That's what God puts in us. Amen. That's what governs us. Then when we allow God's word to govern us, it will save our soul. Let me get to the next two, so I'll go to Peter next. Amen. Next verse. It says, but be ye what? Now that's the question tonight. If we're going to keep our balance with God, are we doing the word or are we hearers only? Do you hear the word or do you do the word? Amen. Superfluity of knowledge and all filthiness, those are preventers. They hinder us from hearing the word. So our life is all a kilter. Our life is all a balance. We're doing things that is contrary to God. Then we come to church and we're grieved. Amen. We're burdened. And we say, God, I just cannot seem to get a word from the Lord. What is in your life? What are the things that are preventing us from hearing the word of God? Be ye not doers of the word, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Because you do what?
Deceive
yourselves. When you come to church, amen, I don't care how long you've been in church, when you just hear the word and do not put it into action, the Bible says you will eventually deceive yourself. Amen. The next verse says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his what? It means you're looking at yourself in a mirror. Amen. You're looking at yourself. Now, notice God didn't say somebody else is looking at you in a mirror. Who's examining themselves? You. Behold means you are studying yourself. Amen. And I like to study myself because there's some stuff that I don't like about me. Amen. When I study that, I'm going to remember it because I want God to help me to get some of this stuff out of me. Amen. As long as we're on earth, there's some things that God needs to get out of us. We never arrive to the point that we are so high that God doesn't need to get some stuff out of us. Amen. So he said, they behold their what? Natural face in a glass. And the next verse reads, then they do something that is should not happen, but does happen. It says, I gotta have to get my Bible for that. Oh, for he beholdeth himself. Alright, take this, you're alright. He beholds himself and does what? Immediately, straightway, goeth his way. And when I was in church, I was hearing the word of God was cut me, slicing me, dicing. Amen. So I'm seeing myself in the mirror of his word. Amen. He says, but straightway they go off their way and forget what manner of man that he is. Why? Because he's only a hearer and not a doer. God requires that we do his word. Amen. Let me go to this next verse, and then we'll go to Peter after this. But whoso, and this is how we keep our spiritual balance, Hearing and not doing creates an imbalance. Amen. This is how we keep our balance in God. It said, but whoso looketh into the what's the perfect law of liberty? God's word. Amen. So when I live in God's word, amen, and I examine myself by the word. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, now after I look at it and hear it and do what? Continueth therein. Not being a what? Forgetful hearer, but a
doer
of the work, the man shall be blessed in his. Somebody said, I don't have the blessing. Where are you at in the word? Amen. Are you just hearing it or are you doing it? Amen. Said they continuously look to the perfect law of liberty. Amen. Now can you go to 1 Peter chapter 2? 1 Peter chapter 2. Whoso heareth the word and doeth it, and then continue therein, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice. Malice is the same word in James for superfluity of naughtiness. Amen. Malice is an ill will or ill intent to get back at someone for something they have done. In other words, I want to take my own vengeance because of something that someone else has done. I've learned through the years, amen, we used to sing the song, if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my victory, shall be mine. Amen. So it said, lay apart all malice, ill will. Amen. You know, there are people that sometimes get a little under your skin a little bit. Amen. In other words, I'm going to give you something that just happened to us the other night when I was with missionary evangelist, traveling all over Albany, helping people. Amen. And we were leaving. I'll be all up. Next week I might be in Canada. I don't know where we're going to be next week. I've been everywhere. But nevertheless, that's what God calls us to do. Y'all love us when y'all call, she'll be right to your house. Amen. But we went out with missionary evangelists and we were leaving the hospital. I'm saying this is how people are. So we were coming down Henry Johnson Boulevard from Central Avenue. And you know, we were coming across the bridge. In all my peripheral vision, I saw a man laying on the ground. Was he on the ground or wasn't he on the cross? Everybody was just walking by and all the cars were just going by, right? So I said, I don't know if the guy was on the ground or not. So I said, you know, we watched that program, What Would You Do? You ever seen that? So I said, yeah. So we got all the way down. We went down like 4 or 5 blocks. I said, you know what? I think that was a man on the ground. I don't know what it was. So we said, let's go back and see. Now, this is, I don't know how many hundreds of people passed before we got there. I don't know how many passed after we went back. So we go back, and the guy's still on the ground. So I was like, okay. And everybody's just walking over, stepping over. I'm like, wow. You know, so I said, so I'm yelling to the guy. I was like, hey. So the guy doesn't move. I said, okay. Maybe he didn't hear me. So I go over, and I touch him. He's like, oh, ice cold. I said, whoa, this is a real serious condition. So I said, well, like, he's not moving. She said, is he breathing? I said, I don't know. I know he's moving. So I said, you know what? So she said, call 911. We called 911. And I explained the situation. The guy said, okay, we'll get someone right out there. So 15 minutes go by, and we still all these people just going and coming and everything. 15 minutes go by. So I called 911 back. I was like, oh, sir, maybe you don't understand what the emergency is. I'm telling you, this man is in bad shape. He said, oh, well, we can't do anything. You have to call the Albany Police Department.
Oh, my God.
After 20 minutes, called the Albany. The guy is not breathing hardly at all. So we call the Albany Police. Yeah, so we call the Albany Police Department. Now, because we're there, we block the street. Now people go, is he okay? Yeah, he wasn't okay when y'all passed him out before. He should have stopped, right? So we call the Albany Police Department. 15 minutes later, after calling them, I'm like, man, there's something wrong with these people. What aren't y'all understanding? The man is on the ground. So they come. And they park, I tell them we're on Henry Johnson between Sheridan and Central, they got parked on Henry Johnson over by Washington Avenue. So I run all the way up there to get the ball. I said, are you here for the guy? He said, are you with the guy? And I said, yeah. So then they come down and say, get out of our way. We need space.
Oh,
that's the way, you know what? It's time for me to go. At that time, you know, he was wasting a half an hour trying to get somebody help. And then the guy comes and said, get out of the way. He needs space. Treat us like we're criminals. You know? Then to make it worse, they turn the guy over and they're beating on him and dragging him across the ground. Like, oh, well, he looked the whole way false.
No, kidding.
You know, but what I'm saying is the world is crazy. So there are times, though people can act ugly, you know what you gotta do? Say, God, you know what? I did my best. You just move on out the way. You know, so that's what we did. But I could have been malicious. Amen. If I chose to be, and thank God he saved me.
Amen.
Somebody said, the things I used to do, I don't
do anymore.
Cause I didn't care for, I used to care for, no, keep going. Yeah, I got that, don't say that. I got that. But what I'm saying is, we don't practice maliciousness. Amen. Even though people can act ugly and do things, God requires, we're what? Saved. Now, even though this guy was, I mean, they got police, firemen, all of them acting like lunatics or something. Oh, yeah. I could have chose to react to them, but I had done my job, so I moved on. Amen. But I'm saying, as saints, we have to learn how to govern ourselves according to God's word and standards, in spite of. Amen. So I said, let's have all malice and all. God is deception and trickery. God is deception and trickery. You say, oh, that brother, I'm going to just assume the brother, so nobody don't think I'm talking about it. That brother's on fire for God. Yes, they are in church. But what are they like once they leave church? Amen. If you are one way in church and another way outside of church, that is called God. That's not us. That's the seed. Amen. So we have to cast out all malice, all God, hypocrisy, the Greek word they use for hypocrisy is stage acting. In other words, you just going through the parts. Amen. Just like you watch movie stars and all that stuff. For the old people that watch TV, I don't mess with them because they can't entertain me. Because whatever they do, I can do 10 times better. I just ain't get a position yet. Come on, Lord. Relax. No, but hypocrisy is stage acting. Amen. It means you just played the part. Unfortunately, a lot of people in church just played the part. Stage actors. Amen. There's no truthfulness in their lives. And though we may not see it clearly, you can be assured of one thing. God sees all. And God watches all. Amen. God says, I see you where you're at, and I see you what you're doing. So you're going through the motions, but God sees it not as man sees it. For man looketh at the what? So you got to live inside that, and this is one of the greatest hindrances in the church. Enemies. You know what's another word for enemies?
Jealousy.
Amen. The psalmist said, what I find more bitter than death is jealousy. Jealousy is worse than death. Amen. Jealousy, the term and the Greek word they use for jealousy is when you are provoked in an ungodly way because someone else gets a blessing. That's not God. Amen. So we're trying to keep a spiritual balance. So to get a balance, we're going to get rid of all of that malice. Amen. We're going to get rid of the God. We're going to get rid of the envy. We're going to get rid of the hypocrisy. And the last thing is what?
Evil speaking.
Evil speaking. Evil speaking is synonymous with backbiting or sowing discord. He said, you cannot have a spiritual balance in your life if you do these things. So you got to get rid of that. Amen. The Bible said, these six things does the Lord hate. You can read about it in your own Proverbs chapter 6. These six things does the Lord hate. He said, the seventh is an
abomination.
He that soweth
discord among brothers.
So he said, you got to get rid of evil speaking. When he said, then he gives, he said, and the only way that you can be spiritually, have your spiritual equilibrium and do the right thing as newborn. Amen. Now, he didn't say you are a newborn baby. Amen?
As.
It says what?
As.
Means to be like a newborn bird. Baby, not a bird. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may. You have to be a faithful hearer and a doer of the word. When you hear the word and you do the word, and you do this desire, that you have to crave God's word. You know, we crave a whole lot of things, but sometimes we just put God off to we put him off to Monday prayer and Wednesday prayer. We pick him up for prayer and we leave alone the rest of the time. Then we pick him up for Friday and Sunday. He said, no, 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 as a newborn baby. And now, all of us, everybody's has dealt with a baby, even if you haven't had a baby. Everybody's dealt with a baby, right?
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Can you feed a baby one day and skip to the next day?
No.
You almost got to feed the baby almost every 2 or 3 hours. He said, as a what? Newborn baby. This is how God's word and craving, our desire for God's word has to be like a newborn baby. You can't let so much time go by before you say, I got to get back into the word. Amen. And sometimes you can't get into it, so you have to be instant in prayer so that you can meditate on it. You know, you can be on your job sometimes. You can't just stop and read the Bible. But because I read it, it's in me, I can just be instant in prayer and meditating on his word. As a what? Newborn baby. So as a newborn baby, a newborn baby cannot go 8 hours without eating. Is that right? Right? Well, that's how God's word has to be in our lives. We should desire it like a baby. Amen. After a few hours, he said, I need more of God. And as we start reflecting on God's word and allow God's word to direct us, it would have the impact. So as a newborn babe, desire a sincere milk of word that you may grow by. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is
good.
Amen. That means we've experienced God's goodness.
Hallelujah.
And tonight, I don't know about you, but I know I've experienced God's goodness.
Amen.
So when I think of how good God has been to me. Amen. When I passed by Fifth Avenue today and I saw all the policemen and the funeral of the young man down at Bethel Baptist. Amen. I thought, you know, that could be one of my children, but the grace of God. That could be one of my family members, but the grace of God. So indeed, I can honestly say that God has been good to me. So I have tasted that the Lord is good. Amen. And in tasting that God is good, I have no choice but to reciprocate his goodness back to him. The psalmist said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his
benefits?
When you're in God, God gives you blessings and benefits. What shall I render unto God? And tonight, as we're considering our spirituality, where we are, what are we going to give God back for how good he's been to us? What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits unto me? So I'm going to say, you know what? I don't have time to get caught up in anything else. But I will take the cup of salvation and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 28. Though I have a lot more, I won't do more. We'll stop here. Amen. Because we don't want you to get discouraged about coming out on Fridays. Amen.
Amen.
Man, y'all don't want to talk to me at all tonight. I got to do like the know, I can't see what the preacher said when he was preaching. I was like, man, I was listening to this one preacher. I was like, wow, they see that on TV or something like that? But this is my verse 9. verse 9, if you don't have it, we get it. Verse 9 of Proverbs chapter 28. I'll read it. We're going to go through this extensively because what we want to do, we do not just want to be hearers of God's word only, but we want to be what?
Doers.
Amen. When you leave church tonight, say, listen, I don't just want to hear it, but I want to do it. To do something means you have to put it into action. You cannot do anything without putting it into action. Amen. So it's so important tonight to please God. We must do what God expects of us. Amen. I was telling my wife, you know, it's so amazing how people can do the things to please another individual, even if it's in direct violation to God. Amen. I was speaking to the man this afternoon. I can give y'all all the details because I don't want y'all to be trying to guess who it is. You might know, you might not know. But I was speaking to a man this afternoon, and he was asking me some questions about you was in such a place for so long, what made you change? You know, what did the causes change come about? I said, you know, I got to a place where I chose to believe and honor God over a man. Amen. So I had to make the right decision, amen, not out of fear for what others would think about me before God. When I made my decision, I had to make my decision based on what God thought about me first. Amen. I said, you know, the problem in the church community is everybody's trying to please another individual, even if it's in violation against God. Amen. Purpose in your heart. Do what's right before God, no matter what anybody else does. Amen. That's the most important thing that we can do tonight. Now, I gave you the scaled out version. But that's all you need to know. Do what's right in God's eyes. Amen. I will not compromise or seek to please an individual if I know it's against God. You know, sometimes when you make a stand for God, you may have to stand alone. You may lose friends and loved ones for a little while. But they'll come back when you make the right stand.
Come on.
I say you may lose them for a little while, but they'll come back when you make the right stand. Don't ever get into a position, you know, don't ever let the devil force you into a position where you have to compromise your faith to please another individual, because God is watching us at all times. God never misses anything. So God said, now you made that decision based on what? And I told him, I said, you know, yes, 30-something years in the same place is a long time. Amen. But if I'm not doing what's pleasing to God, then it's time to move on. Yes, you lose a lot. Amen. You lose a lot. Amen. But what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and does what?
Loses his soul.
Loses his soul. Tonight, your soul is the most important vessel. Amen. That's the most important thing you can safeguard. And the minute you take a back seat for your soul for another individual, God gets angry. Amen. Because God says, put nothing, no one before me. Amen. We are to love the Lord our God with what? All of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our might. In other words, God has to be number one. In our decision making, amen, and us trying to keep a balance, is God number one in making our decision? Amen. Are we making a decision based on the word of God? Are we trying to please ourselves? Do y'all have it? Okay. All right, we can go to verse 28, verse 9. So we're dealing tonight, Proverbs 28, verse 9. We're dealing with not being a hearer of the word, but being a what?
Doer.
Can we God's word and you turn your ear, it means you give God a deaf ear to his word. You hear God's word, God's word's conviction, and then you turn your ear as though you did not hear it. Amen? Say, he that turneth his ear from hearing the word of the Lord, even his prayer shall be an abomination. So I said, well, I heard all that stuff in church, you know, but I right now, I'm young, whatever, you know, we have so many gap fillers for what we do and why we do it. Well, I'm not going to do it because of this, and I'm not going to do it because of anything. If you turn away your ear, you heard God's word, and you went contrary and did the opposite. He said, even your prayer is an abomination. God will not hear that. Because what you're saying is, God is speaking to us. We hear his word. He said, I'm not going to do that. God said, that's an abomination. Amen. And he doesn't like it. So he wants us, Lord, order my steps through thy word. Verse 10 reads, whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way. Well, why can you call someone that's trying to do the right thing, influence them to do the wrong thing? You turn away your ear. So you do not, you're not governed by God's word now. And if God's word does not govern our every action, then we're being influenced by another power. Amen. So it says, whosoever causeth the what? Righteous. That person was right with God. You messed them up. How did you mess that right? It didn't say somebody that's coming to church here righteous. In God's eyes, say right. So whosoever causeth the righteous to go astray in that what? Evil way. He shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. It says, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. Amen. You got to be careful when those wicked people rise and try to bring down the righteous. Said, now he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Well, this all leads from turning away their ears from hearing God's word. So when I turn my ear from hearing God's word, I know that my life is not right, but I will cover it by sin. On I think it was Sunday or was it last Friday, we went over in Isaiah, I believe chapter 28, it said, he that attempts to cover but not with God's spirit. Amen. Last Friday we went over, this is part of keeping our equilibrium. You're trying to cover wrong, but you're not doing it with God's spirit. In other words, you cannot do right and cover that without coming to God. So he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Amen. And I'm going to skip down. Let's skip down to verse 18. It says, but whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. You want to be saved, you got to walk according to God's standards. But he that walketh uprightly shall be saved. But he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. So we'll close in Isaiah chapter 59. So it said, you cannot turn away your ear from hearing God's word and think that God is pleased with that. Amen?
Amen.
Saints, don't believe
it.
I'm about to sing out the back door. So I say, better, Johnny, get your gun or run. Amen. You can't do wrong and think God is pleased with it. You cannot turn your ear from hearing God's law and hearing God's word. And they say, well, I prayed to God. He said, well, that prayer was an abomination because you're not doing the things that are pleasing in my sight. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Amen. And this is a promise, so I got many more scriptures flowing. We're going to stop the flow. Can we say stop the flow? Can we say stop the flow?
Stop the flow.
Y'all want me to stop the flow? I got to keep going. Can we say stop the flow?
Stop the flow.
Amen. It says, verse 1 reads, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot
save.
Say, God has power. Whatever is going wrong or whatever is out of whack in our life, his arm is not short that he cannot save. God has the power to deliver us whatever we're going through. Amen. It says, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot. God can do anything. Amen. God's arm is not short. Whatever our situation is, God can deliver. And his ear is not too heavy that he cannot hear. Amen. So if God can and God doesn't, what is the problem? Verse 2 says, but your iniquities have what? Separated between you and your God. Iniquity is this. David said, Lord, cleanse me from my iniquity. Amen. Iniquity is David has sinned. But instead of David getting the sin right, David tried to cover it. So iniquity is sin that is covered. Amen. David tried to cover it. So he had already messed up with Bathsheba. Then he tried to cover the mess up. So iniquity is when we willingly try to cover wrong. And so God doesn't see it. He sees it. And he knows. Amen. It says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The problem is not in God. The problem is that spiritually, we are out of tune. Spiritually, we are hearing, but we are not doing. Amen. Spiritually, we have turned our ears away from God. And then we expect that God's going to bless me anyway. Yes, and in the Bible, the scripture in the Bible says that the goodness of the Lord is intended to lead us unto repentance. So there are times you will still be blessed, though you're wrong. Because God is trying to bring you unto repentance. Repentance is an acknowledgement, Lord, that I'm wrong. And an attempt to get it right. Psalms 32, verse 1, I'll just quote it, said, blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. There's only one way to get right with God. There's only one way if you're out of balance to get back in balance. If your spiritual equilibrium is off, there's only one way to get it right. And that's to get it back to God. So when we confess and forsake it, God will have mercy as we stand. More than anything tonight, if you forget everything else, don't forget. Do the things that are right in God's eyes. As the ministers come forward, do the things that are right in God's eyes. The moment that you stop doing right for God to please another individual, God calls that an idol. The minute you stop doing right for God in an attempt to please another individual, God calls that an idol. He said, now, when you try to cover that, he said, that iniquity has separated between you and your God. Amen. And the sin has closed his ears from hearing our prayer. Lord, I want to get back in tune. Lord, I want to be back in balance. Amen. Dear Lord, I come tonight withholding nothing. And I have a I don't know what you desire. Lord, I want to incur your blessings. Lord, I want to incur your favor. So, Lord, all